Okay, one last thing. The people, I just took different gurus or saints or people that have an influence in my life around the table. One is Ramana Maharshi. We're going to be reading something of his later. He's when he was a young man, about 12 years old, he left his family home. He heard about this holy mountain in South India. He walked there and lived on the mountain for the rest of his life. Never left it. And the guy with grade 12, he writes more clearly and expresses himself more lucidly than anybody with a PhD. You know, like, he's just brilliant. And this one is the guy who started the Hare Krishna movement, Swami Bhaktivedanta. I'd met him back in the 70s. He's one of the first or second persons that have influenced me strongly in chanting. And this one, okay, this one's a lady named, that she was called Hazrat Babajan. She was quite an eccentric character in India, and she was a Muslim saint. And there's not many Muslim women saints, and many people wouldn't acknowledge that to this day. But she was a lady who just, they thought she went mad. She just went and lived under this tree. She lived under a tree. She stayed there for like 50 years. She never lived anywhere else. People would come, and she just prayed. She had her healing effects. And that, but, so that's, this is my guru who started the black rooms, meditation rooms, Mota Maharaj. And that's the person who, he just recently died. He was the first devotee and the person running the rest of the things after he passed away. That was Nandubai. He lived to 100 years old in 4 days. These ashrams were not like what we consider ashrams, where everybody's going together and getting together and chanting. People go and be in the room alone. The day you come out, there's a little chanting for an hour or so. Then you leave and you take your energy back where you came from and you deal with your own life. It wasn't ever a social, functional thing. And how, who's fitting in and who's doing what. Like, it was just more the chance to get into the meditation rooms and building up your sadhana. Now, this one is Satya Sai Baba. He's alive now. He's in India. He's known, sort of known for his afro, but he's getting old. He's about 75 or something now. But he makes things manifest. He makes jewels and rings, but he made these ashes. So it goes like this: these ashes come out of his hand. And I guess they might tie him up every day or so and get a few ashes out to market them or something. And they get around the world, but the idea is it's a holy ash that has a healing potential, and many of the saints would have that. They'd have their fire going on all the time, a little bit of ash, and someone would come and they put the ash on them, and that's their holy blessing. And this one is another lady, Godavari Mataji. I mentioned her last week too. She's in my lineage in a way. She goes back to a person who, there was this man who went into a cave or went into this pit and stayed there for 13 months without eating or anything and just meditate. His name was Upasani Maharaj. He came out, he was a very enlightened person, but he couldn't breathe. He was having trouble breathing because he had been so controlled in such an altered state. When he came back to sort of semi-normal consciousness, he couldn't breathe and he was having trouble. So he went to a man named Sirdi Sai Baba, which is an older saint who was known to appear and disappear in different places at the same time. He could be in three different bodies at the same time, in different places around. And it was a very spiritual person, Muslim also, but really a mix. He was a Muslim, Hindu. He had Hindu followers and Muslim followers, so he had a mix of these traditions. But she was the first devotee of this man. This man went and stayed with Sirdi Sai Baba till he could breathe properly. He said, just be around here. He stayed there 4 years and his breathing calmed out. He was healed spiritually on that level. When he came out, his vision, well, how they got connected, I'm not exactly sure, except that she became the first disciple of this women's group. And he started something where young girls, when they were about 7 or 8, would join this group and they'd stay celibate all their life. They'd learn the most spiritual books and mystical books in India, all the Vedics, and they would be the ones that go out to ceremonies, weddings, and temple things, and they would know all the rituals, all the herbs, and they were, there's always about 75 or 100. At the peak, there was about a couple hundred enlightened women running the center. Now there's probably 75 to 100. She died at probably about 12 years ago, 15 years ago. But she had taken it over and run it, and it's just gone on. It's in, it's south of Bombay, a place called Shirdi. Good. Okay, so this was a picture. You can look at these after. This was a picture of Shirdi Sai. He died in 1920, so he's more like end of last century. And this was a guy, another Muslim saint, named Tajuddin Baba, Hazrat Tajuddin, or Tajuddin Baba. He was a guy who just went into an altered state, and once he went into an altered state and someone challenged him, and he appeared before some Western woman naked, you know, like, and he just said something, or and they thought she was crazy, so they locked him in a mental institution. He stayed in a mental institution for 50 years. But in that process, everyone in the institution and everyone within about 150 miles became a devotee of his. And he was healing them. He'd be sitting in there. The soldier that arrested him and brought him into the institution. They locked him up in there. The next week, he's going down. He sees him sitting right in the same spot he arrested him. And he can't believe it. Like, he sees him there, and the guy smiles at him, and he doesn't know what to do. So he rides back immediately back to the mental institution to see if he's there. And he's sitting there, you know, and I think he was known for saying to the guy, "You do your work, I do mine." So these are just the stories of these traditions. There's little pieces of them. They're just people that have touched my heart, you know, and stay, and I keep with them. So I just bring them out. That's why they're part of my teachers, and I really, everyone's your teacher, right, if you get in the right place. So okay, so we'll do three ohms.